Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How to get Lima's son to watch football with him.
I don't want to burn him out, Kenny. That's why I solicited your advice. And a quarterback that Kenny is all in on plays college football.
I don't know if I'm all in on him. I just added him to the list. Find out who when you listen to the Emerging Podcast Scene presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Tone, what's going on? We were just talking to each other. Hello.
I got sent a TikTok video about football season with a toddler.
Okay.
And it was kind of a nightmare on Sunday. Not gonna lie.
Why?
Because we're not gonna have babysitters or whatever because it's football season. Like, yeah. If I'm home, you know, the kids are gonna be home. My wife took our daughter to run some errands, so it was me and Mason. And she's like, "You'll be fine with Mason, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, fine."
Mason cries every time I'm on the phone with you.
Yeah, it's been rough.
It's so
rough
annoying.
Recently, but I'm thinking. Like, okay, that's fine.
I get it.
Like, we'll find stuff for him to do. But I'm watching the game. I'm really trying to watch the game. I cannot be diverted. My attention has to be on the game. And, I mean, Mason was pretty much over at 20 minutes in. So now it's 2 hours and 40 minutes of having to keep him entertained and occupied while also paying attention to the game, while also getting all the texts, social media, all the stuff. We're bouncing around ideas for the show the next day. And it's a close game. Regardless of whether I found it to be all that entertaining, it's a close game.
Like, by the way, did you see that metric?
I did. We'll talk about
this. You sent it to me, yeah.
We'll talk about it in a sec. But do you have any words of wisdom? Because it's going to be a long year.
Hell yeah, it is.
Because he's not going to care about football this year. Probably he's not going to care about it next year.
Good.
You know, at some point.
He probably ain't going to be that great.
At some point, I'm hoping he would just take interest in sitting with dad and watching something. It's not like I'm not at this stage, you know, you got to let them do what they want to do. What kind of words of advice? I know, like, Owen, it's been years and years and years for you. Kenny, it hasn't been that long. I mean, your kids know what you do for a living.
Yeah.
My son's way too young to have any clue whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
but wouldn't care either way.
So I remember, my son was born in my oldest was born in 2015, and I remember there was a day where it was going very, very poorly, and he was very young. He was born in June, and so he was able to sit up and stuff during football season. That was cute. We have a picture of him, and I remember saying to him, like, "Thank God you don't know what's going on right now." Because it was bad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were just getting hammered one day, and Johnny was out there, and it was just a mess. And I look at it now and I'm like, oh, we've had some nice seasons, but we've also had some tough seasons here. So it feels like we're about to go back into it. And so when you're underwater, I wonder about, like, what it is. And I think sometimes we tend to overrate our own misery. Like, oh, I'm not going to subject my sons to this. Like, I remember I had a boss, at my other place, I don't want to give up too much, where his son had season tickets, and they just gave up the season tickets. And he said that he wasn't going to go to the game. They got offered great seats, like last minute Saturday afternoon before the game on Sunday. And his son's like, no, I'm not giving in. And I go, guys, it's a football team. It's not a battle of wills. Like, what are we doing here? But that's all adult stuff. And like some of the people, I go, man, like, I know you want them to win, and I want them to win too. And this is my life. But also it's like, man, maybe pull back a little bit. Because until they get it going, like, maybe it's going to be a while. So I want them to be enjoying it and take it seriously.
That's kind of funny. Hold on, real quick. That's kind of funny that I didn't think about it this way. Should I not want to waste a Browns Super Bowl on my kids not understanding it yet?
Oh, no.
Should I have to put it off?
You don't want to do that.
And say if they're going to do it, it needs to be when he's 10.
Yeah, because, I mean, Axel was alive for the NBA final championship.
Yeah.
You don't know nothing about it.
Yeah.
You don't know nothing about it.
Like, if I could choose, like, let's just say I get one Super Bowl in my life. I get the Browns winning one Super Bowl in my life. Would I want it to happen now?
Mm-hmm.
Or would I want it to happen when my son, because who knows what my daughter will be into. She might never, just never care in a million years about it. Should I want it to happen when my son is of age to appreciate it?
Yeah. To some age.
Well, I got to root for him not to go to the Super Bowl for the next 8 years.
I don't think you'll have a problem with that, at least for the next year. We'll see who they get next year. I also, I think it's more, I got to tell you, with this generation, it's more, I don't want to turn this into youth football stuff, so stop us when you want to, but it's just more getting them to watch in the first place. It is pulling teeth sometimes.
Really?
I tell them, I go, guys, watch football. And they're still like the basic stuff. When we're on offense, when we're on defense, when we're doing, when we're going to different modes of practice, different periods of practice, stuff that I just naturally knew. We started playing football in fourth grade. They're having you play football earlier now, even with flag. Now with flag, it started like when you're in your kindergarten. And we watched football, man. Like, there wasn't YouTube and idiots on YouTube doing 6-7 or whatever the hell that is. I have no idea. Which Axel just found Beavis and Butthead, though, which is kind of fun. But there are so many kids. Like, Axel watches football with me, so he knows. And there's a couple kids who definitely know. We got one kid who watches film. He knows. But we had a couple of new kids. They're in sixth grade. I'm like, you don't know? No. And I mean, when I showed, I told my dad one time when I was coaching baseball, I go, Dad, like, even the kids who weren't very good knew what to do, standing in the box, putting the bat up, knowing how to hold the bat, that type of thing.
You imitated everybody
exactly.
You saw.
They at least knew what to imitate or what they saw on TV.
We could do every guy. We could do every guy on our favorite team.
I had a kid on, I was like, I mean, this is like last year, like 10 years old. I'm like, dude, you got to turn towards the pitcher. Like, you're standing, like, you look like Jay Buhner right now, and then they don't know what the reference is. They're all wide open.
Oh, wide open.
So, like, say Owen's the pitcher. They're standing there like this. They don't know what they're doing.
Oh, my God.
The kid didn't know what he was doing. I was like, you don't watch any baseball. And in the back of my head, I'm going, what are you doing out here? But I didn't say that. And basketball seems to be the easiest because it just seems to be so, it just explains itself. But it's a bouncy ball. It's a hoop.
Yeah. And every kid in little gym, like we're in little gym, it's one of the first things they know. Take the ball, put it in the basket. But it's interesting you say that because I think back of why do I like football? Why, despite what sometimes how you guys feel, they're like, Lima hates football.
No, you like football.
I absolutely love football. I just don't love all football. There's a big difference. I think back of my parents bringing home the sheets from Continental Products, which was the paint manufacturing company at the time in Euclid. They had the sheets, and it had Continental Products on the logo on it. So somebody was printing it off, company stationery.
Yep.
And it had the lines. And I had to be. It had to be explained to me early on. So I had the sheet every Sunday. Really, all week I had the sheet. And if I heard them, they didn't talk gambling on the radio as much back then. But they would say, -6, -7 and a hook, -1 and a hook. Like, you would hear all those things. And I would have it with a trusty pen. And I'd make my picks. Never did well or anything. I don't know how anybody does well, especially as a kid. And then I'd watch the games. And I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Also, my parents, a lot of drinking. And back then, remember, Old Municipal, and this is kind of famous lore for Cleveland, Ohio, the games weren't always sold out. And there was a blackout rule that had been established. And the games were not available on local TV. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. You could not watch the Browns on many weeks, many Sundays on local TV. How would you watch them? Somebody would have to have a satellite dish and pick up a feed from Toledo, pick up a feed from Erie, PA. So, because of the blackout rules, the restrictions were so draconian back then.
Yeah.
So we would go to the bar, remember Little Phillies in Chesterland, and it was packed. And I didn't understand drunk, but that's how you learn, because people were having fun. Smiles on their faces. People, parents, other parents giving you money to go to the arcade or to go to the claw machine or whatever, the jukebox. Like, here's money, kid. Have fun. Here's a Shirley Temple. Here's a Coke. Here's some cherries. And they were doing stuff you didn't see adults do, doing flips when they scored touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like handstand. These are adults. They're grown people. But that was the experience. And so that got me into football. How was I not going to fall in love with football? Kenny, there was nothing else on. There was nothing else on. Football was not competing for in the same headspace as every movie ever created, every sitcom, and Mr. Beast. Like, everything ever created was not at your fingertips, so football was a no-brainer if your parents were into it.
But, man, I know I'm different because I've always been entertained by it, and I've been entertained by sports in general. Like, I did not, you know, comic books, I don't know anything about comic books, and that's why I don't know anything about superhero movies.
Yeah, I didn't do it either.
There's, like I can name the cartoons I watch probably on one hand growing up. There was Batman, the animated series, some Animaniacs in there, I'm sure.
Oh, I did.
Some Rocco's Modern Life, some Doug. And then that's like
But did you watch all the supporting football programming? Because there was a ton of it, and I would watch that before the game.
Well, I would go out of my way, but there wasn't as... I wasn't inundated with sports, I guess, because there wasn't as much on, and there wasn't like... I mean, it's 20... Yeah, you had ESPN, but ESPN was reruns for 8 hours in the morning, and then... Because remember back in the day, I want to say, I know we've had this conversation on this podcast before. They would run the 11 o'clock Sports Center throughout the morning, okay? And then at like 10 or 11 or somewhere there, it would like, this is before the deuce, they would have like Body Shaping with Galad, and then it would go back to Sports Center, and then there was like NFL Yearbook until like... Honestly, until 6 in the afternoon.
And old Super Bowls.
Yeah, and then they had the 6 o'clock Sports Center, and then you had games, whether it be like college basketball or something, and then it was Sports Center at 11, and then the cycle repeated itself.
Yeah.
And so you would have like old Pro Bowl challenges and stuff like that. Like, that was it. And now it's this cycle of just nonstop, inundated with opinion. And I think it's kind of become too much, where it's almost made people really... The people who really like that thing, I think there's fewer of them than there used to be. Because you have to be so dedicated to watching the programming. It's where, like, people have jobs and they have lives. And so that's where I think that guys like us come in, because it's like, there's plenty of guys, they will never be on Twitter. They will never be on Facebook pages and stuff. And they just want their 15 minutes, and that's where you're at. But... I think when it comes to kids, I know that sports is competing with so much more, but at the same time, I think that there is maybe that loss where it's like, you know, is dad going to the Browns game? Is dad watching the Browns? Is he actively seeking the Browns? Is he actively seeking the Browns for the entire season? Or is he watching the Browns until things go really bad and he's like, you know what, bleep this.
Is football foolproof? Is the experience foolproof? Meaning, if I... bring my son at a certain age, and you got to tell me what age that is, and we go to a game, or we get excited to actually watch a game and give him the experience, the almost cut out of a TV commercial, wings, pizza, soda, pop, whatever, and we're doing this, and we got people coming over. Is there a way, is football foolproof? Like, they're gonna love it. Is it?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Still up in the air. That could actually drive them away from
football
liking football.
Football does everything they can to be something for everybody. That's why it's such a conservative league. That's why they're trying to take out taunting. Because they don't... I disagree with it. They don't care. They don't want... They do not want people calling in saying this is ridiculous, hot-dogging, things like that. And they don't want fights.
Yeah.
And they think that... And maybe they have data that proves it, that taunting can lead to fights on the field, and they do not want fights. That you know, they got really upset about obviously the Myles Garrett thing. They don't want the Jalen Carter right out of here. It was on national television. It's the first game. They do not want anything that could be seen as ugly on their football field. And to a certain degree, you know, I can definitely see their point and agree with them. Even though, like, I can't believe the lack of common sense it seems to be where so many people, every time I talk about how I want taunting in the NFL, kids emulate that. I go, yeah, and you can be a dad and tell them to stop.
Yeah.
Like, my dad could have told me to stop, but I was an idiot. I was a little fifth grade idiot, and I did the Macarena after a sack and stuff like that. And my dad called me an idiot because that's what I was being. I was an idiot. It was funny, but I was
an
idiot.
That is hilarious. A parent should be able to say, hey, it's okay for them to do it. It's not okay for you to do it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's just a difference.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Those are the rules.
And, hey, you know, I know what I do now, and what I do now is a attention-getting carnival barker idiot. And so, well, I'm kind of following in those footsteps. But I don't like that sort of thought to it. But I can understand where they're coming from, where if they let one thing go, then it could start to build a collapse of what they've built. And what they have built is almost a foolproof product where everybody wants to see it. And now, more and more, we're getting more people who aren't even as connected to their favorite teams as they used to be. They have somehow made it a Walmart experience where you're going to get everything in one shop, which is unbelievable to me. Like that.
All things to all
people. I still don't believe it wholeheartedly. That commercial that the NFL ran for NFL Team Shop that one year where it's like, our son moved to Pittsburgh and like Roethlisberger's. Like, dude, if I moved to Pittsburgh, I am a Browns fan. If I moved to Seattle, I am still a Browns fan. The Browns backers are the biggest fan organization in the world because a lot of people move away from here, sad to say. Thanks a lot to some of the political decisions that have been made here in this region over the last 100 years. But a lot of people move away from here and they end up being fans in Carolina. I thought it was BS. Apparently that's working. Apparently people are moving out of their towns and going to where the work is. And he became a Vikings fan and they had Bengal babies. And I'm like, this commercial disgusts me in so many ways. And apparently that's the truth because you're seeing it more and more. College football players are nomadic. People are becoming more and more fans of the player, not necessarily the brands. The schools that they get into, you're looking at it being more and more elite. How many people do you know? You're a bad example. How many people do I know whose kids got into Ohio State recently? Not that many.
Dude, no, my kids aren't getting into Ohio State.
Not that many.
How many people do you know? Because I know a ton that are going to Ohio State.
I don't.
But I have kids in that age group, and so I know people in that age group.
I don't.
Well, you're just talking about how tough it is to get in right now.
It's a tougher school to get into now.
I mean, there are a ton of kids that I know that I did not think would get in there that are in there. So well, I don't think it's as tough as you guys think it is.
It's a tougher school to get into. I don't know as many who I would have back in the day. To play there, you have to be that much more elite. And the players are nomadic, so it becomes almost a fantasy. And I think you become a fan of the team, but you also become a fan of the player. So I see so many times, like, the Browns aren't that great, and there's people who they go, man, I really like Marvin Harrison. I want Marvin Harrison to do well. I guarantee there are fans who want to see, even though they say they're Browns fans, they really want to see Jack Sawyer do really, really well. Because Jack Sawyer was a dude and took that loss to Michigan seriously and was one of the guys that led it. And you're seeing more and more of that. Well, to the NFL, it doesn't matter. The money's all green. And if you're spending money on the tickets or you're spending money on the television package and the merchandise and all that other stuff, and you're spending money with their partners and you're watching the television and watching the games, they do not care. Yeah. Roger Goodell does not care about whichever fan base. All he cares about is making the NFL more and more money through their partners and through their television deals and everything else that comes with it.
And we'll move on. I just want to make sure that there's not something that I could potentially do to just turn them off, turn him off.
Yeah, I mean, football. If you make it an unlikable experience.
Yet I see so many.
I think if you force him, if you force him to watch with you every week, yeah. You're going to turn him off.
He may just not like
it. If he doesn't, my boys don't watch with me every week. They went and my boys went fishing this week. They had a football game. We left at halftime of our high school game to go home and watch the Chiefs because it was Friday night, right?
Okay.
And I go, hey, we're going. The score was not great, so. Go, hey, we're going. And they were like, I really want to see my friends. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going home. So get in the bus or walk home, one of the two, right? So they ended up coming home, and they watched that game with me, but that was kind of a force. But I know better than to go, hey, every week seven, sit down and watch the game with me. Now, if there are games that I think are important for them, I think if you're a Browns fan and you want to put Browns fandom into your child, you should watch the Steelers game, whether they want to or not. They need to sit there and watch it. You should watch the divisional games for sure.
Uh-huh.
That make sure they count. And then anything that you can sell them, this is big time. This is a big deal. And then you're right. You brought up that doing it with the pizza and wings and all that. Sometimes every once in a while you do that. Can't do it every time because you'll go broke and fat.
Yeah. That's kind of the story of my life, to be honest with you.
Broken Fat, the Ken Carmen story.
The Ken Carmen autobiography. Forward by
Chef Boyardee.
Chef Boyardee.
He's from here.
I think that's probably the best. I think Owen's way is the best way to do it. Mine's more inviting. Axel didn't start watching the game with me on Sunday.
Okay.
He eventually came in. Like, he was playing his video games out in the kids' room. In the basement.
Right.
And then he walked in late second quarter.
So my oldest son was upstairs, and right when they had the first sack in that big three sack set, I was like, dude, you got to come down and watch this. And then he was in with me for the end of the game, you know, and then he saw the heartbreak of the field goal and all that. Right. But if they're not into it right away, I'm not going to force it. But if they will get pissed at me if I'm watching it, and they know it's part of the job, right? So they know I'm going to watch it whether they're good or not. But if I'm watching it and there's a good point in the game, I'll also do – sometimes I'll do the fake thing where I'll rewind it and then be like, hey, come here for a second to talk to him about something else, and then go, oh, look at this play, and it's a great play.
Yeah.
I did that with baseball. Baseball's easier because here comes a big home run that they don't know about, and all of a sudden I'm talking to them about folding their socks. And then they see a home run and they're in.
Yeah.
Same thing with football, though.
Yeah, I got home yesterday, and he thought we were going to put on football, and I said, no, we got a no-hitter going. And it was 10-0. And then once he gave up the no-hitter, I was like, well, this game is over. They gave up two runs in the ninth, but I was done by then. You know, it was 10-2, and I ended up watching the end of the first half of the football game. But I think that it's not a forced thing, but I also don't want to push him away from it either. Yeah, I think it's a very fragile balance. There's things that he says he wants to do, but I also know he's 10 years old. So I think that that's a little bit mixed up. Do you like my John Mateer commentary earlier? Are you open-minded?
Well, he's burst onto the scene.
Wouldn't like it. I thought you go, oh, God, you're doing the Baker thing.
Well, because of the hype thing. Like, yeah, I mean.
Are you saying hype or height?
Height.
Height, hype, school, whole
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, no, none of that stuff.
Like, there is a connection there.
None
Let's
of that, especially now with quarterbacks bouncing around, you know, ironically, Baker bounced around. But the fact that he was at Washington State, right, and nobody was paying attention to Washington State. They were in a conference of two, right? Like, they were in football Siberia.
Yep.
And, you know, he put together, I don't know how many games they won. Were they not good last year?
Well, their coach is gone.
Yeah.
He went to Wake Forest. Dickman.
Washington State went 8-4 last year.
Okay. Oh, that's not bad. I don't know what their schedule was.
You're in this weird cyborg conference that's waiting on teams to get out of their conferences to join your conference.
One games at Pac-12 championship.
So, you know, part of me wants to learn my lesson from the Baker stuff, because so much of, like, when they took him number one, I was like, we just took a short quarterback. I mean, it was as stupid as that. It was just short quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, funny thing is, how much taller is Patrick Mahomes than Baker Mayfield? Is he that much taller?
It feels like he's way bigger, though, because he probably plays bigger.
Plays bigger.
He has a really strong arm.
But you know, there's a difference there, and it's guys of all shapes and sizes can be good at quarterback. And now, you know, we're watching Joe Flacco, so the longer and longer we watch Joe Flacco, you're probably going to yearn for a mobile quarterback again, because that's the league. Every quarterback taken in the first round now has wheels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of the last one that doesn't? That's good.
It's also something that's desirable. There was a time where it wasn't desirable, and so it started to change our level of thinking. Where now, you know, a guy like Drew Aller and Garrett Nussmeier, for that matter, they are more drop back, let it rip quarterbacks. And I start to think, boy, is that archaic? Is that an archaic level of thinking? Is that something that's in a different era? And they would be better in a different era. Are they cut out to be more backups or anything like that? Like, Lenore Sellers can get out there and scoot. Like, I think you're always going to have to be a passer first. But you have to, I think you have to have Jalen that element.
That's why Milroe, I was never understanding any of the hype.
Like, you hate the Ravens as much as I do. They really changed the rest of the NFL. And Greg Roman changed, as I know it didn't work out great, but everything ends badly or they don't end. I think Greg Roman deserves credit. I think John Harbaugh deserves credit. That's a good organization that continued to be good. And they just decided that they're not going to sit here and try to turn this guy into something he's not. They're going to try to work with him as a passer, and he's gotten much, much, much better from his rookie year, but I still thought he was pretty good. And they add that element to it. And they had a lot of criticism years ago of, what are you going to do in week 6 when he breaks his leg?
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? How's he going to be able to withstand the punishment? And now you've brought this element where, I'm sorry, that's just what we look for. Like, Patrick Mahomes, I think that I've had to disagree with people, because I think his ability to run has been underrated. Like, you have to have a quarterback that can get out there and be an athlete now. Because it makes you defend 11-on-11.
And some of it's
instead of 11-on-10.
Some of the Mahomes' athleticism, you could tell, has eroded. He's played banged up. He's not running like he used to. He could still do it on a big third and down. Like, that guy will fake. He'll pump fake one way and look a guy off.
Well, the evolution.
And he'll get his 15 yards.
Not of the game, but a guy's career, and knowing when to go, when not to go, when to slide. Like, I brought up with the John Mateer stuff. I go, man, he's absorbing a lot of hits.
There's a play I know exactly which one you're probably referring to.
Those are big guys.
He was heading out of bounds, and he decided, no, I'm going to stay inbounds, and then he's taking a hit.
Yeah. It's like, buddy.
Can't do that.
Like, that. If that guy gets hurt, I think Oklahoma's probably in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
If that guy stays healthy, I think that in so many – I don't know if Brent Venables would get fired after this year, but if he stays healthy, I think he reignites the name of Venables – and I think he'd be fine. But boy, if he gets hurt, like, all of a sudden you're looking at 6-6 again, and I think you're looking at trouble.
He had another play. I mean, they were backed up inside their 5-yard line. He, you know, most college teams, you know, from the Trestle school of thought, oh man, you're inside your own 10, you're inside your own 5. We're gonna run the football, get out of dodge, punt the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. You could tell the confidence they have in him, because next thing you know, he is flinging it from way back in his end zone, 40 yards down the right side, first down, you flip the field, boom, confidence. Like, holy
and
cow.
You have to have confidence in your quarterback to do that. That takes big balls.
Oh my God,
like,
I could not believe it in that game.
Or desperation, like Hugh Jackson running a flea flicker out of his own end zone.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.